Hi, everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. So glad to have you here again for another 5-minute English episode. Today, I've chosen a topic which I've been loosely talking about in recent episodes, and that is babies. Honestly, I'm not sure why it's taken so long to do this episode, since babies are not only such a big part of my life, being a mother of two little ones, but also because there are so many wonderful phrases and vocab words within this topic. This is going to be a great episode for vocabulary, I promise you, so stay tuned. If this is your first time listening to a 5-minute English episode, know that these are based on specific topics. I call this fluency one topic at a time because by learning the vocabulary words, phrases, phrasal verbs, collocations, and everything within the episode, you should be able to navigate a conversation with a native speaker fairly easily. You won't likely get lost for lack of words or phrases. And if you learn the terms in this episode well, you should also be able to express yourself more confidently. Trying to cram this much detail into 5 minutes is not only a crazy challenge for me, it should be pretty challenging for you as well. And that's okay. It may take a few times listening to this episode and having a dictionary by your side in order to capture everything. If you would like to gain access to the in-depth lesson that corresponds to this episode, which contains definitions of all of the complex terms, exercises, pronunciation practice, and more, you can access the 5-minute English course or season 2 at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Once again, this bonus material can be found in the 5-minute English course or season 2. One other notification before we get started. A lot of people have been writing to me recently about getting discounts on courses. And although I can't give any discounts, I've decided to break up course material into more affordable chunks for you. In the next few weeks, I'll be posting these smaller chunked courses. And yeah, check out the website to see if you'd like to gain access to any of them. Without any further ado, let's begin today's episode. It's happened. It's finally happened. After 9 months of gestation, you've popped a little baby out of your hoo-ha and are headed home from the hospital. It's still dark and the streets are empty. But you can't help but drive much slower than the speed limit since your fragile 7.2-pound boy is strapped tightly in the car seat behind you. You've been mentally preparing for this day for months. You painted the nursery, organized gifts from your baby shower, and bought all of the newborn necessities. Despite all that, the fact that you're now a parent hasn't sunk in yet. It's both nerve-wracking and exciting. Once at home, you throw down the diaper bag and set your sleeping baby in a bassinet by your bedside, which is where they'll sleep until they move to a crib at 6 months. You turn on a mobile above the baby's head that spins and plays soothing lullabies. Then you activate the baby monitor so you can watch him from a distance. The days and nights of the weeks that ensue are a vicious cycle of nursing, changing diapers, and cat naps. To be frank, there are a lot of ups and downs. First off, you're finally starting to get the hang of breastfeeding, which feels like a huge achievement after such a rough start. Yet, even though the baby latches well and eats well, he often spits up when you burp him, which usually gets the burp cloth, his onesie, or sleep sack wet. Needless to say, there's a lingering stench of rotten milk near the laundry basket. Diapering, on the other hand, has been fine. You've been thinking about switching over to cloth diapers in the future to reduce your carbon footprint since you recently learned that the average baby goes through around 2,000 diapers during their first year. At the same time, you're happy to have an abundant stock of wipes and diaper rash cream, which helped alleviate a recent diaper rash. In English, it's common to say that someone sleeps like a baby when they sleep soundly. But you find that phrase astoundingly inaccurate. Putting your baby to sleep is an obstacle. Neither the white noise from the sound machine nor the vibration on his bouncer or swing help. You think back to the hospital when nurses wrapped your baby up in a swaddle for comfort, but at home, you're left swearing in the dark as he wriggles his way out for what seems like the 100th time. As a last resort, you rock him in a rocking chair until he nods off. Although you vouch to never introduce a binky, you're having second thoughts. Before you know it, you're at your 2-month well baby checkup. Visits like this one are common during the first year. At them, vaccines are administered and the baby's weight gain, length, and head circumference are checked and documented on a growth chart. To your excitement, your baby's in the 60th percentile for all 3 measurements. During your visit, you'll likely talk to the pediatrician about milestones that your baby is making, such as smiling, rolling over, eating their first solids, crawling, and even walking. The pediatrician might also give you some unsolicited advice. For example, how to properly baby-proof your home. Are you putting padding, soft padding on sharp corners and locking cleaning products away so they can't be accessed? At your baby's 2-month visit, you give the pediatrician a rundown of your first 2 months and ask for advice. Your main concern is colic, which is abdominal pain that causes distress in babies. Your baby's colic kicks in every night between 6 and 9 p.m. and leaves him unsettled and fussy. You've tried gas drops and tried to comfort in a variety of ways, but he seems unconsolable. Perhaps there's a solution, but your doc tells you to wait it out, since usually colic subsides when infants reach 4 months. You also ask your doctor to check the healing process on your baby's circumcision, which was done a few weeks prior. At your 4-month visit, there's much more to talk about. You've physically recovered from birth, and now you put the baby in a sling or a carrier to get things done around the house. At times, you even go on walks to the park with the baby in the stroller. You're proud to announce that you've developed a bedtime routine, which involves a bubble bath with rubber duckies and a bedtime story. These days, your baby not only smiles and laughs, but he spends a good amount of time on the playmat doing tummy time, which helps develop neck muscles to prepare for their first solid foods. Your baby is usually surrounded by toys such as rattles, goofy stuffed animals, and teething rings that he likes to gnaw on and drools over. Although baby teeth won't start coming in for a few more months, according to the doc, he's teething. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends feeding a baby exclusively with breast milk or formula at least until 4 or 6 months, and then introducing solid foods. By that time, most babies can sit upright on their own and hold their head steady. Historically, rice cereal was a first for American parents, but not since traces of arsenic were found in it. Today, most parents opt for savory foods, such as green beans, avocado, or an iron-fortified cereal, such as oatmeal. Many parents in the U.S. are following in the footsteps of parents in the U.K. and are introducing solids with an approach called baby-led weaning. So instead of pureeing or mashing up food and spoon-feeding, babies with baby-led weaning will sit in their high chairs with a bib and grab whole foods from their tray to gnaw on with their gums. Babies lead the way. Advocates of this approach say it teaches babies to chew before swallowing, that it helps improve hand-eye coordination, and helps the baby learn to regulate their food intake. For many parents like you, starting solids regardless of the method seems stressful, so you just go by the book. You avoid honey during the first year for fear of botulism. You avoid giving shellfish, egg whites, and cow's milk because of potential allergens. Nuts, popcorn, and grapes can also be choking hazards, so you avoid them like the plague. What do I do if my baby starts to gag on food? And what if they choke? Should I know baby CPR? You have so many questions, but as time goes by, you slowly start to answer them. If you ask parents and pediatricians around the world what their opinion is on co-sleeping, sleep training, or even potty training, their answers will likely differ. So, is there a perfect answer to these? Maybe not. But eventually, you'll learn what's best for you and your little one. That's it for this episode about babies. By now, you probably know that my husband is Brazilian and English is not his native language. So, of course, he says some things sometimes that are pretty funny. For example, he used to say that the baby vomited when milk came back out her mouth, which sounds funny. When babies only drink milk, we use the phrasal verb to spit up when the liquid comes back out. So the baby spit up all over me, or dang it, they're spit up all over my shirt. Another thing he said is, Shauna, the baby's complaining, which is really funny because I imagine a baby using words and telling me that the milk is not warm enough. So when there are no words leaving someone's mouth, we would likely, especially a baby, we would likely say that they're whining or they're being fussy. So it's a mixture of crying and complaining. It's all of that discomfort in sound. So the baby is being fussy. I think she needs a bottle. Or the baby is being whiny. She must be tired. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.